Today we're remembering the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people will use it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some will say infilling, and some will say a lot of terms for it. But today we're going to celebrate really remembering Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they were just a transformed person. So when the Holy Spirit, I entitled my sermon this afternoon as that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. Pentecost or Shavuot has many names in the Bible, right? There are many names concerning the Holy Spirit. One of it is the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10. Feast of the Harvest, which is also known as Pentecost, Exodus 23, verse 16. And First Fruits, Numbers 28, verse 26. We're going to look through a couple of it. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 10 says, "Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of freewill offering from your hand, and you shall give as the Lord blesses you." And in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16 says, "You shall keep the Feast of Harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast in gathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor." And the last one, Numbers 28 and verse 26, "On the day of the first fruit," also known as Pentecost, "when you offer a grain offering of new grain to the Lord at your Feast of the Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary works." Pentecost, or Shavuot, is originally a feast, of a festival so-called, of expressing thankfulness to the Lord for the blessing of harvest. Shavuot is traditionally a joyous time, gathering of the harvest, a joyous time of giving thanks and presenting the offerings, the people of Israel presenting their offerings of the new grain, of the summer wheat harvest in Israel. Now, next Saturday, please come, because Deaconess June Tan will be preaching from the Old Testament, the various feasts of the Old Testament. She'll be covering also the feast Pentecost, what that Old Testament means, and the various festivals, very meaningful. She'll be covering more on that. But this afternoon, I'm going to be covering on the New Testament teaching on Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is mentioned not only in Acts, but also in chapter 1, chapter 2, but also in chapter 20, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8, and also in James chapter 1, verse 18. All is mentioned concerning Pentecost. Now, we remember that Jesus, before he was ascended into heaven, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, he assured his disciples about the Father's promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will be soon given to them in a form of very powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, knowing his departure was near, the time, ascended into heaven, the disciples saw him resurrected. They were filled with very excitement. But now, because Jesus is ascended, what will their future be like? So Jesus knew that there could be some apprehension in the disciples' heart. What will the future be? Then Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will empower them to go out into the world and be his witnesses. Basically, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, is not so much for us to feel hype up and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's part of it. Many things will manifest, speaking in tongues, slain by the Spirit, empowered. But more important of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will empower each one of us to go into the world to reach to the unchurched people. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, beautiful, they were gathered together of fear of the Jews. They were gathered together and they were praying, worshiping the Lord. As they were worshiping together, when the sound of the mighty wind comes upon from heaven and with tongues, fire resting upon their head. The Bible says all of them, on the day of Pentecost, as they were gathered, all of them, suddenly this mighty wind comes along. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there's two kinds of tongues. One recorded in Acts chapter 2 is the tongues languages of someone that we don't know. We have never learned this language before. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon, we speak in that language, in the dialect, for others to hear so they can know the Lord. So it's again reaching to the unreached. And the other tongues is, of course, heavenly languages. It's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. It's the special tongues from heaven. The Bible says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and people blame them, people ridicule them. They are drunk. Early in the morning, 9 a.m., they are drunk. But Peter stood up and preached the gospel. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, stood up boldness to share the gospel of the kingdom. And 3,000 people accepted the message. Verse 41, chapter 2, it says that also those who received his word were baptized. Immediately, that they know such thing as baptism, calls, whatever it is. Immediately here, there were 3,000 of them were baptized. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Peter, who denied Christ, preached a powerful gospel. The same day, all of them were baptized, added to the church. And then Acts continue to record the signs and wonders that follow after the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began on Pentecost. And today we're remembering Pentecost. I believe the outpouring, miraculous outpouring upon the Holy Spirit will come upon us as we open our hearts to Him. Now to the Jews, Pentecost is a joyous harvest. They gather harvest and they offer to God. But for us today in the church, right? Today in the church we can and we'll celebrate a harvest of new born souls on Pentecost. We will be empowered and out we go to share. And I want to share this afternoon that what happened on the first Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 can, and as a pastor of this congregation, should happen to all of us today as we submit to Him. It says, but you will receive. Now, you notice this verse, it says, well, what does it say? It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice the word that the Bible used. It says that you will receive power when, not if, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's when, and it's not if. If the Holy Spirit, that means there's some, not too sure, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive. And this is what happened in the day of Pentecost. Today, we know that it happens, and it will happen to us. It's my prayer this week. Keep on praying, and I've anointed some our leaders, consecrate them, to pray for all of us later after the sermon to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon us. So it is when and not if the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit has come, and He will continue to fill us. 3 things I want to share this afternoon with all of us. Firstly, is the power, the promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, followed by the waiting for the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, I'm going to end with the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, 37 to 41. The promise of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1, verse 1 to 11. There are a couple of things here I want to share. Jesus commanded them in these couple of verses. Jesus gave them assurance. And Jesus was taken up. You're going to see Jesus commanded his disciples. What did he tell the disciples? While they were staying with them, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you will hear from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a special baptism. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And then Jesus gave them assurance, knowing that they were worried of many things. Jesus gave them assurance in verse 8, right? And in verse 8, what did Jesus say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were afraid of things that happened. They were lost. But Jesus assured them, He is with them in the Holy Spirit. Last week, Edmund preached about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes now. The Holy Spirit comes into our life, and this is the promise. Gave them assurance not to be fearful. And lastly, Jesus was taken up. This is beautiful. I want you to imagine when you are standing down there with the disciples. They witnessed the ascension of Christ up to heaven, verse 9 to verse 11. And when he had said this, and as they were looking on, he was suddenly lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. That means they saw him ascended, then the cloud came and covered it. And while they were gazing, really gazing into heaven as he went, and then two men, angels, in white robes, and said to them, the voice said to them, we don't know whether the angels came down from the cloud or stand next to them, but the angels spoke to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has taken up from you in heaven, the assurance come, will come in the same way as you saw him in heaven, but in a greater, much, much greater way." It must be a very awesome sight, right? Sometimes when we worship God, we experience the power of God and the anointing. It must be a very awesome sight. What they heard from Jesus about going, leaving them in John chapter 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back," Jesus says, "and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And verse 16, "And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you." Awesome sight, awesome assurance, what they have heard in John chapter 14, that he's preparing a place and he will come again. Before he comes, he will send the Holy Spirit, the Father. Verse 16, "And I ask the Father, and he will send another helper to be with you." So such beautiful things, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to look at the waiting. And waiting is the most difficult time, whether we're waiting for a new job or waiting for someone. It's a very trying period. So beautiful things is the disciples were gathered together. They were praying together. They were worshiping together in unity together. No one is missing at that time when they were waiting. And they were gathered on the day of Pentecost. Am I going to share this verse with you? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, not at home or somewhere else, but all of them, the disciples, were gathered together in one place, just as we are today in this century. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. It's just a sound, a mighty sound. Must be a very powerful sound, rushing wind, and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Just imagine as you're sitting down there, and then suddenly the mighty wind comes, blow everything off, and the pews, Bible, everything, it becomes mighty wind comes, rushing wind, fill the entire place. The Holy Spirit comes, yet it's a gentle spirit, very gentle spirit. And where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared visually, I believe, to them, rested on each of their head, each on them or shoulder. It just rested upon them. And they were filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Because there are many people from other nations gathering together, see that they are like speaking in languages which the disciples never learned. And they are speaking my language, and I'm able to hear their language, the gospel message, the words. And this is another way of reaching out to the unchurched. The tongues they receive is a language. It's a dialect they have never learned, yet they are able to fluency. And they understand it. The people bystander, they hear their own, the message of God in their own dialect. And this is really for evangelism. Divided tongues fall upon them, and they spoke. The disciples are waiting and waiting with anticipation for the fulfillment of what Jesus has promised. 10 days later, and suddenly, finally, it came. I believe it was just this couple of days, 10 days, when Jesus promised. They were just get an ordinary meeting. They did not expect the Holy Spirit to come on Pentecost, but they were waiting for it. But it comes on the day of Pentecost, where they were gathering together. Boom, the wind came, and they were really filled with the Holy Spirit. The result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, whether you call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, infilling, second baptism, but whatever it is, 3 things happen. The disciples have this boldness to share the gospel, boldness to speak the truth, to warn the people, and boldness to expect things will happen. Many times when we share the gospel, we are a bit afraid, so we share whether the person will accept or not. it's already a very negative way. Once we go and share the gospel, we believe boldness to expect that God is going to open the hearts of these people. I mean, in our Hokkien service, we have been seeing the Lord really adding people into the Hokkien service on Sunday afternoon, 4:30. People just come. And when they are admitted to hospital, when we go down and pray, I just want to share one testimony. One, firstly, he's from the Autism Center, the church in Autism, Christ, Chapel of Christ, Our Hope. His father came. His mother was admitted to hospital and asked me to go and visit. We went down to visit, share the gospel with her, and immediately asked her, well, in fact, this couple we have been following a year, but when she was really sick, was admitted to hospital, we shared the gospel with her. I went there to share and asked her whether she received Jesus. She says she's willing. Positive, because I believe the Holy Spirit used me to speak. And she said, yes. I said, would you like to be baptized? She said, yes. My jaw dropped. Yes, accept Jesus, and yes to baptism. Baptized her. But she was afraid to tell the husband, and later the husband wanted to be baptized too. Share the gospel with him, and he won't accept the Lord. But before he was baptized, the wife asked him, hold on, let me baptize this, because there's a lot of ancestor tablets in our home. You need to pray to my ancestor. Hold back her husband's baptism. But after a week, convicted by the Lord, she allowed the husband. And one was baptized in the hospital, one was baptized at our service. And after the baptism, the wife passed on. The timing was good. She passed on with the Lord. And then the husband, missing the wife, he went to his fourth brother, who is a medium house temple, and asked the fourth brother, where is my wife? Can you trace her? Because he's a medium, he knows. Then the fourth brother looked and says, I'm so sorry, I cannot find your wife's soul in hell. 找不到她的,在阴间找不到。 I can't find her in hell. It must be up there. So this is assurance from a medium who says it. I cannot find her spirit in Hades, so-called. She must be up there. And then the man went back home, told his son, how beautiful, my wife is in heaven. How beautiful it is. I really, so-called lucky, she says. So fortunate she's there. And 4 days later, the Lord took him to be with his wife. And both of them, really, such beautiful testimony. He went to the medium said, I cannot find, must be up there. And he came back, told us, your mother is up there, my wife is up there. How fortunate she is. 4 days later, the Lord took him. This is boldness in sharing the gospel. It doesn't matter whether the person accepts. We expect that God do something in this family. Many beautiful things happen in our Hokkien service. And believe here too, great and mighty things. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Boldness to share. Boldness to warn. Boldness to expect. Verse 41. Those who received his word were baptized. Beautiful. And they were added to the soul. About 3,000 souls. It cannot fill this century anymore. Praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added daily. The Lord added day by day. Those being served. To be saved. Here we are in organizing evangelism, and one, two person comes. But this is daily the Lord added because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray after our sermon, I'm going to pray for all of us here. The main thing of receiving the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is to empower us to share the gospel to those in need. We need to create, as the vicar's right, you read the vicar's right, it says that we need to creating a space for God to act in our life and in the cathedral. We must allow space in our lives and the church of cathedral for the Holy Spirit to act, to come, to be filled with the Spirit, to be baptized, or to be infilling of the Spirit, whatever you may call it. The meaning is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life. And I want to show you a demonstration, a simple visual demonstration that what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I ask Edmund, our pastoral staff, to help me? We have a bottle, which is a cathedral water, empty bottle. That's how life looks like. But when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon our life, the funnel is being put there. And this represents so much of the Spirit of God pouring is this filling with the Holy Spirit just almost filled? No, it's still not. Let me demonstrate again. Even as the Holy Spirit fills out, even to the overflow, it's still not. We need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And what it means is this. The bottle inside the jar, this is filling with the Holy Spirit. It's not just our life is empty. A little bit of water here, a little bit of Holy Spirit. No. The Lord create a space for the Holy Spirit to come, just like this bottle, totally immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we speak in tongues when baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are we slain? Or do we receive some weird things in our life? God works in different ways. We cannot push God, put him in a square. Say, this is the way. The New Testament, they speak in tongues. I must speak in tongues. If I don't speak in tongues, I'm not filled with the Spirit. As we're going to pray for you later, just believe that as we pray, anointing upon you, the Holy Spirit comes. In his timing, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to be able to speak in tongues. I remember before I was ordained as a minister of God, Bishop Moses Tay, two things he require of his clergy. One is that you have to get married, right? And not single clergy, because you need to counsel family. And second requirement is that he will pray for the Holy Spirit to fill the person before the person is being ordained. And remember, he prayed for me, went to see him because I was seeking ordination, and he prayed for me. He laid his hands upon me and said, have you received the Holy Spirit? I said, I have received the Holy Spirit when I was baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But he says, there's something deeper in you that you need. I said, okay, I want to be empowered. And when he prayed for me, laid hands on me, I prayed for me, and nothing happens. But I knew that the Spirit has come upon me, immersed in it. But I did not speak in tongues, because I believe, I said, it's impossible for me to speak in tongues. But it was 2 weeks later, 2 to 3 weeks later, when I was having my own quiet time at home. And I said, Lord, this couple of weeks I've experienced, I'm able to share the gospel with boldness. Lord, I believe it's the Holy Spirit that has come upon me when Bishop Moses Tate prayed for me and laid hands upon me. And immediately I said that I burst out in tongues. And burst out in tongues, it was a heavenly language. And being new to such a language, like baby Babylon, I was not able to control myself, and saliva came out of my mouth, blah, 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 speak in tongues. I was afraid. Then I called one of my friends who is a Pentecostal, one of my classmate in Singapore Bible College. Is this speak in tongues? He said, yeah, this is speak. Continue to speak. And from that day on, continue to speak. So the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that later our pastoral staff and our ministry worker to pray for you, you have to be slain. God works in different ways, so we cannot push him to work this way. But as we pray for you, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Yeah, it may that you speak in tongues. It may be slain. Power. Why a person slain? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit powerful upon us. And being human, when it comes upon us, we are slain, so-called, before. But what happened on the day of Pentecost, I believe will happen to us as we seek. It's nothing to be fearful, but it's the normal way, because God promised, Jesus promised. Again, the Jewish celebration of joy. But to us, today, the church can, and for this 4:30 service, we can and we will celebrate harvest of newborn souls on Pentecost. This is the day. What happened on the first Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 can and should happen to us. Really, I want to pray as well. We always do after a sermon. We want to open the altar for a time of ministry, because today is Holy Communion. We want to do it. Really, I encourage you to come forward quickly, and then we can pray for you. And then later, we're going to celebrate the Holy Communion. Please rise as we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. Even as we welcome him, he welcomes us to be filled with him, so that we can be empowered to preach the gospel, to share. And then later comes whatever problem we have, whatever we have. Holy Spirit will see us through. First, receive power from Him. Things will be different. Hallelujah. Sing once and then invite you to come as our pastoral staff.
Nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord, tasted and seen of the sweetest of